Join me on a journey where getting lost is the only true destination. For the past, present, and future all coexist on the same timeline. Where happiness is an illusion. This is the future we are in right now. Where our phones are the first things that we touch when we wake up. The last thing we touch before falling asleep. Radiant, seductive screens we so lovingly, endlessly gaze upon. Much like you're doing right now. Father, welcome to a future where our true reflection is only revealed once the screen goes dark. Welcome to the darkness. I hope you find it enlightening.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait, Jimmy."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait, Jimmy."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait, Jimmy."
Did you hear that? Give up.
Give up.
Give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers call tonight 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Tonight, we learn of some rather scary news. I think this is certainly frightening when you understand that for a few weeks now, we've been talking about the limited nuclear exchange program that we've been hearing not only from our television shows and movies. We have, like I said, Oppenheimer coming out soon, and then we have, of course, the report that, you know, when the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago, they got nuclear secrets from Trump, which who knows if that's true or not. But tonight's news, it's rather scary, is that both Ukraine and Russia have warned of an imminent false flag attack at the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, which is Europe's largest nuclear power plant. The plant, originally built by the Soviet Union in the early 1980s, located on the Dnipro River in southeastern Ukraine, and has been under Russian control since March 1st. That was just days after the invasion, Vladimir Putin's invasion happened. It's one of the first sites to be seized by Russian forces after the war began, and it's still, from what we understand, operated by Ukrainian staff. Now, there have been widespread concerns about a potential nuclear catastrophe as the plant located near the front line there has remained a target of shelling in recent weeks. Both Ukraine and Russia have accused each other's forces of shelling the plant. However, you go to any news source out there, they can't figure out who's shooting what or who's shooting at whom. Ukraine's Defense Intelligence Agency suggested yesterday that Moscow was plotting a false flag attack on the nuclear power plant. This is what the statement said, quote, "Ukrainian intelligence officers believe that the Russians are preparing a provocation at the ZNPP." That's the power plant. "Following the extensive shelling of the ZNPP, the invaders could raise the stakes and stage a real terrorist attack on Europe's largest nuclear facility." This is from the Ukraine Center for Strategic Communication and Information Security. That was issued by Ukraine's Ministry of Culture and Information. Another tweet in the same thread said that members of Rosatom, Russia's state nuclear corporation, had urgently left the territory of the nuclear power plant, and then an unexpected day off at the facility had been announced. So they called all the workers off. In fact, the tweet coming from Stratcom says this: "The Russian invaders have announced an unexpected day off at the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant Only operational personnel will be stationed at the ZNPP. No other employees will be allowed to enter. So Russia's defense ministry claimed that Ukraine is planning to carry out a false flag attack. We have a number of people who are very concerned about the consequences if, by chance, the plant is attacked and the they cannot cool the reactors. I when I hear stuff like this, I just say to myself, it just seems like it's part of this pattern that I talk about when I say they're somehow programming us for a possible nuclear exchange, whether it be small or even an incident that would be an accident, something like this, for of course. And tonight, of course, we're very pleased to announce that we have Libby Halevi with us, producer of the Nuclear Hot Seat Show, which is a weekly podcast on nuclear issues. Well, she's been doing this now for years. She was 1 mile from the 1979 nuclear meltdown at Three Mile Island in Pennsylvania. She wrote a book on her experience. It's called Yes, I Glow in the Dark, 1 mile from Three Mile Island to Fukushima Nuclear Hot Seat. Libby's latest work is a play on media manipulation at the dawn of the atomic age called Atomic Bill and the Payment Due, which is in development for a 2023 debut. Libby, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I'm so glad to have you back, especially in times like these. It's of concern, this nuclear power plant that has always been the centerpiece for a possible nuclear incident. What are your thoughts? Are we getting closer to this, or is this just brinkmanship?
Any thought of brinkmanship needs to be put aside because the dangers there are real and they come from many different directions. I know people are very concerned about the fact that there have been missiles fired by Russia that have gone over the plant very closely. Russia has turned the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, which is six reactors. That's why it's the largest in Europe. It's six nuclear reactors. They have laid landmines in there. They have munitions that are in offices and stray buildings, and some of them are piled outside. They're using it as a staging area with initially the assurance, this is what was put out, the assurance that there's no way that Ukraine would shell it because they know the danger, not only to their own people within the plant, but to the facility itself, the six facilities. At last count, Russia had gotten up to three of the six nuclear reactors online. As of today, I believe it's down to only one that's still live. And of the four power sources that come in, and these are power sources that are used to actuate the cooling system, which are necessary not only for the live working nuclear reactors, but also for the spent fuel, which is in the six spent fuel pools. This is the rods that contain uranium that fuels the nuclear reactors, but through the process, the uranium gets turned into plutonium. And the plutonium is just shy of being weapons grade as it exists in the form in the rods, in the fuel rods. So electricity is needed to run the water to keep it cool, because if these rods, if this material, if this reactor are not kept cool, then they start heating up. There's the chance of a meltdown. And if it melts down, that's the release of radioactivity. And then you're talking about six possible Chernobyls happening simultaneously from one site in Ukraine.
I didn't realize there were six possible Chernobyls. That's devastating. We're going to get back to this. This is a breaking story, literally. Possible false flag at a nuclear power plant, the largest nuclear power plant in Europe. Libby Halevi is with us tonight on Ground Zero. And, of course, Nuclear Hot Seat, a weekly podcast you need to listen to when you want to hear about nuclear issues. Libby will be back to tell you more on how you can listen and participate and get involved with this. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away. B. Halevy's with us tonight on Ground Zero. Producer and host of the Nuclear Hot Seat. Talking about Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. Ukraine, Russia, apparently both have concluded there's going to be, or they're planned to be, or they're thinking there will be a false flag attack on the nuclear power plant. If this happens, it would be a bad, 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 bad thing for Europe. And Libya's here to let us know what's going on. Of course, Nuclear Hot Seat is her weekly podcast, and it's on nuclear issues. What other things are we looking at here? I mean, we're looking at millions of people without power, without heat. We're looking at, oh my gosh, I could just go down the list of all the things. We're looking at refugee situations. We're looking at, I mean, what would happen if this power plant exploded?
Whether it explodes or whether it's just split and the material releases, it would be radiological contamination that would go through the entire world. I mean, the immediate hit would be to Ukraine and the surrounding countries, Belarus, but it would go up into France, into Germany. And judging by Chernobyl, which also took place in Ukraine, the radiation reached directly all the way up into Scandinavia and in far north Scandinavian, the Same people, the native people there, the Laplanders, as they're sometimes called, yeah. Their reindeer herds had to be exterminated because they'd all gotten contaminated with radiation and were not safe to eat anymore.
Didn't they find radioactive materials in the milk in England or in the UK many years? And they said it was either Chernobyl or depleted uranium. They found these nuclear materials in milk. Is that true? I remember reading something to that effect.
Yes, because if you think about it, what happens is the radioactivity spreads through particles, and it goes up into the stratosphere, into the jet stream, where it's brought back down to Earth by either rain or snow. The droplets have to form around particulate matter, and if it happens to be something that's radioactive, that gets brought down to Earth, and that's called a rainout. So if you think of radioactive rain coming down on the grass, and then cows or sheep or goats or whatever are out there munching on the grass, it gets contaminated. And yes, it does show up in milk. That's one of the first ways that it does show up, one of the first foodstuffs, and it is measurable. People need to understand, though, that just because this is happening over on the other side of the world from wherever they may be living doesn't mean that they're immune to the consequences. Because if there is an explosion there, if there is a loss of coolant by loss of electricity, they do have backup generators, but they only have enough diesel to run them for 4 or 5 days, and they may not be able to get more diesel. They run out of the electricity. The cooling is out. They heat up. There can be an explosion. There can be the release of the radioactivity. But once it gets into the jet stream, from there it goes around the world. And none of it is safe. There's no separation between northern and southern hemisphere or whatever the land masses we happen to be on. The Earth is a closed system. And no matter where we are, we will be impacted by that. It may not show up immediately because what people don't understand about radiation is sometimes it can take anywhere from 3 to 5 years for certain cancers to show up, cancer of the thyroid or leukemia, all the way up to 10, 20, 30, 40 years later. And there's genetic damage that gets handed down through the generations and weakens the children. And there are a lot of signs that weakness has shown up in the generation since 1945 when the first atomic bombs were exploded. So we're all exposed to radiation. This would massively increase the amount that everywhere we are exposed to it. But especially, I mean, Ukraine, I don't know that the country would be able to survive it, but from there, the neighboring countries, and the neighboring countries include Russia.
Yeah.
But Russia seems unconcerned because there's so much of it. You know, they can afford to, you know, give up the western part of the country because they've got all the rest of it. And you have to realize that this is also coming along with, you mentioned brinksmanship before.
Yeah.
There are threats that are coming out. The head of Russia's nuclear, biological, and chemical protection troops said the enemy knows that the station, meaning Zaporizhia, will be either Russian or no one's. There will be either Russian land or scorched desert. And former Russian President Valery Medvedev said, let's not forget that the European Union also has nuclear power plants, and accidents can happen there too.
Yeah, I saw that. I read that veiled threat thinking, you know, what are they planning? And I mean, that would be, oh, that would be a simultaneous just wipeout of everything if they were to take out those plants. And see, that's the thing. I think people don't realize that as much as they have resiliency built into these plants, if you kill various areas, areas of a plant, it will easily melt down. It can malfunction and melt down. And it's not just the fact that people are going to be radiated. It's the fact that there's a psychological aspect to this. I remember when Fukushima happened, when the Daiichi Fukushima plant went down, and people all over the world were concerned about radiation sickness, poisoning, radiation in the fish. And certainly it was definitely a concern. And, you know, so many people were, they didn't want to go out to the beaches here in the Pacific Northwest because they knew a lot of that radiation was spreading through the Pacific.
All of that is true. And because radiation is invisible and people don't understand it, it's easy to be afraid of it, but it's also easy to then ignore it because it's, people said, well, you know, the radiation was out there, but nothing happened to me.
Yeah.
You could always append the word yet to that.
Well, I mean, I tell people all the time, Libby, I say, listen, my mother was a downwinder. She suffered from cancer. She died before she was 60. I've had three bouts of cancer, and I have another disorder that was caused by radiation, genetic radiation hand-me-downs. So I know exactly, you know, what causes this. And yeah, you can say it's not happened to me yet, but it will happen to you.
I'm so sorry that that happened to you. I'm so sorry that happened to your mother. I didn't know you were downwinders.
Yeah.
But yes, and here's the thing. This is pointing to, and I'll get into this, I think, in the next segment, the fact that the rules of war, nuclear war, are being changed right before our very eyes in real time. Mm-hmm. Because Russia going after the Zaporizhzhia site, they went after Chernobyl, but they backed away from there after only a short period of time. But going after the nuclear reactor, and from there, Medvedev saying, you know, it can happen in Europe too, because you've got nuclear reactors. We've got nuclear reactors all over the United States. And none of them is locked into a Fort Knox equivalent security system. I know of breaches that have happened by normal people just saying to a reporter, you want to see how easy it is to get onto a nuclear site? Happened to a friend of mine up in from Cape Downwinders in Massachusetts about the Pilgrim site. She was bringing an NPR reporter onto the site. She got caught. They tried to bring her up on charges. The charges got dismissed. But these are so vulnerable. Greenpeace over in Europe is famous for flying drones over spent fuel pools, for getting into nuclear sites, and then using mountain climbing equipment or rock climbing equipment, getting to the top there and just perching on top of buildings.
Yeah.
Because they're permeable. And that means that every nuclear reactor on the ground anywhere is the equivalent of a dirty bomb. You don't have to have the explosion. You don't have to have the fireball. You don't have to have a missile dropping a bomb. If somebody can breach a nuclear power plant and do something to the spent fuel pool, they don't even have to get inside the full containment. Spent fuel pools are under less jurisdiction, less protection.
Mm-hmm.
And put an explosive in there, we've got a dirty bomb on the ground, and it's all over this country and all around the world.
Nuclear Hot Seat. It's a podcast that you need to be acquainted with. Of course, Libby Holliday is my guest tonight on Ground Zero, talking about Zaporizhzhia, whether or not a false flag attack is going to happen at this major nuclear power plant, and how devastating it would be if it happened. Numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
Without panic, the reality. reality of our time.
The reality of our time.
The fact that atom bombs may someday be dropped on our cities. And let us prepare for survival by understanding the weapon that threatens us.
I'm now threatened. Each of you will clear out his nuclear closet immediately. Failure to participate will be considered an act of war.
You're joking, of course.
This summit is over.
And this is it. This is it, boys. This country is at war. With you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you.
We are concerned. We are concerned that the President of the United States, is so unstable. Is so volatile, has a decision-making process that is so quixotic that he might order a nuclear weapon strike that is wildly out of step with U.S. national security interests.
And helping secure your future is the foremost builder of state-of-the-art underground fallout shelter. State-of-the-art underground fallout shelter. Luxury accommodations. Where you can wait out the horrors of nuclear devastation.
It's reported the Pentagon is planning to develop two new sea-based nuclear weapons.
The president recognizes that we're running out of time.
The president is actively considering the use of nuclear weapons.
While the U.S. tries to keep down Iran's nuclear industry, the Pentagon has been busy working on a major revamp of its own atomic weapons.
38 minutes yesterday, people feared that there was a missile flying through the air.
That's what it says to respond to Russia and China's growing military capabilities.
Let's set some boundaries with a spoiled control freak that thinks he runs the world and orders drone strikes to cope with his insecurity.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. There are a lot of inconvenient truths which a lot of journalists are dealing with right now, and things we already knew about what's going on in Ukraine. And even though Ukraine is not as big of a hot topic as it used to be, we're seeing a number of increasing number of mainstream journalists, commentators, ordinary individuals who are now finding out that this is the biggest stage ever to create or at least instigate the idea of Ground Zero or the idea of a nuclear incident, a nuclear war, perhaps even a nuclear power plant that could easily become a target and it could create all kinds of problems. We, of course, on this show, were talking weeks ago about how the indoctrination process, and my guest tonight, Libby Holloway, has said the same thing. She says, we're seeing right before our eyes how they're beginning to change our attitudes with regard to nuclear war or radiation exposure. An example of this is the commercials have been running, or the PSAs have been running in New York City.
So there's been a nuclear attack. Don't ask me how or why, just know that the big one has hit, okay? So what do we do? There are three important steps that I want you to remember. Step one, get inside fast. You, your friends, your family, get inside. And no, staying in the car is not an option. You need to get into a building and move away from the windows. Step two, stay inside. Shut all doors and windows. Have a basement? Head there. If you don't have one, get as far into the middle of the building as possible. If you were outside after the blast, get clean immediately. Remove and bag all outer clothing to keep radioactive dust or ash away from your body. Step three, stay tuned. Follow media for more information. Don't forget to sign up for Notify NYC for official alerts and updates. And don't go outside until officials say it's safe. All right, you've got this.
Yeah, we got this. We understand it is changing the way we see things. Libby Halevi is my guest tonight on Ground Zero. She is the producer and host of Nuclear Hot Seat and the author of Yes, I Glow in the Dark. Tonight on Ground Zero, talking about how close we are to another nuclear incident with what's going on in Ukraine and Russia. What did you think of those PSAs that were running in New York? It's as if, I mean, I played them when they first came out. My audience was completely beside themselves saying, how dare they make it sound so routine and that we'd be able to survive a nuclear attack on New York.
Absolutely. I laugh when I hear that one because it's just an updated version of duck and cover, the long discounted program from the 1950s that, oh, if you just duck in a corner and cover your head with your hands or get under your desk at school, you'll be fine. If you want to know what I think about this, nuclear hot seat number 578 from about 5 weeks ago, right when that PSA happened, I devoted almost the entire show to it, including interviews with a number of people who really shed terrific light on what was being said. And also on the website, I have a lot of pictures. One of them is a before and after of Hiroshima. And if you look at the difference between the two, they're saying, go inside, take a shower, listen to the media. You think anything's going to exist, anything's going to survive? Because the bomb that was used at Hiroshima is magnitude smaller than the smallest of the nuclear bombs that we have now, that anybody has now. There's also a map that I have on that page, episode number 578, that from something that your listeners might be interested in if they've never seen it before. It's called Nuke Map. And if they search Nuke Map, they will find it. It's got a longer name than that. What it is a place where you can put in your zip code or the name of your town or an address or whatever, and pull up the size of the bomb you want to drop and click on a button. And what it will do is show you where the fireball will land, what in concentric circles the damage will be going out, the number of deaths and the number of injuries approximately if a bomb gets dropped. You can try that anywhere you go, and I encourage your people to do so, because I think it will open their eyes to exactly the level of devastation they would face if it came from a bomb. Now, if it's coming from a breached nuclear reactor, I don't believe that they can explode under those circumstances. I'd have to check further into that. But the radiation release alone would be deadly. And if not immediately, if it's not a catastrophic dose because you're right up against it, it will hit you. It will impact you. Right. It will impact your children and their children and down through your genetic line.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I just can't believe that. And see, what triggered this really was I went and saw the movie Nope. I went and saw it in theaters, and I noticed that they were promoting a film about J. Robert Oppenheimer that's going to be coming out in the fall. And I thought, why out of the blue? Because they're going to base it off that book Prometheus, you know, the idea that he gave fire to the world with the nuclear weapon in the Manhattan Project. And I sat there and I watched the preview and I'm thinking, why on earth would they be, you know, all of a sudden curious as to the Trinity blasts and the Manhattan Project, if not getting us programmed or at least indoctrinated into the idea of a nuclear world, or a world where nuclear war or nuclear incidents will happen all the time, and that they want us to believe that it's all survivable. They want us to believe there'll be no impact. And then, of course, they have these silly PSAs where it's almost as if it's an afterthought. Oh, it's happened. Get over it. You got it. You know. And I'm thinking, why are they doing this? There's something about normalizing and acclimating people to the possibility of nuclear tragedy.
Oppenheimer, it's very interesting because not too long after 1945 and the bomb and everything. First of all, when he first saw Trinity, he quoted the Bhagavad Gita and said, "Now I am death, destroyer of worlds." Exactly. He knew what he had done.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He lost his security clearance after that.
Well, yeah, he knew.
Another.
Well, we got to take a break, but I'm saying you're right. He knew. That's why he said what he said. He knew exactly what was happening. And to hear those words again are haunting, knowing exactly what's going on again. Libby Halevi with us tonight on Ground Zero. Remember, it's Nuclear Hot Seat. Nuclear Hot Seat, the weekly program that you need to listen to, especially in times like these. We're going to find out more about her podcast and more about what we need to think about right here on Ground Zero. 503-225-0860. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Also getting word that the nuclear PSAs that we played from New York are also now airing in Los Angeles. So there's been a nuclear attack. Don't ask me how. Just tell me what do we do now? It turns out that 12% of those polled that were looking at these saying that they didn't even think about, they haven't even thought about nuclear war or dirty bombs or nuclear power plants going kaplooey. I mean, that's why we need nuclear hot seat. That's why we need people like Libby Haleve, who's with us tonight on Ground Zero, to get us that information when we need it. So, first of all, Libby, where do we find your podcast, and what exactly are you covering now? What are some of the hot topics that are happening now?
People can find it by going to nuclearhotseat.com. I've got a little yellow opt-in box. If you put in your first name and your email address, you will get the show delivered every week. And it's also on all of the podcast platforms. So just search for Nuclear Hot Seat. The good thing about getting it through the website is that I send out in the email a little bit of a précis of what is being covered in each week's show. And there are so many nuclear issues out there. This week, for example, with Ukraine, people can go back and search. I've been covering it since the first week. So, and there have been many specials that I've done on it within interviews, too. They can go back and research on that. This week coming up, I have a nuclear engineer, Arne Gunderson, of Fair Ones Energy Education, former executive in the nuclear power industry, and he will be talking much more specifically about what the dangers are at Zaporizhia and what can go wrong there. In addition, I have an interview that is with two of the activists who have been fighting to keep the closing down of the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant here in California. There was an agreed upon shutdown by the Pacific Gas and Electric and the state and the unions. Everybody agreed. And all of a sudden, Gavin Newsom, who does have his eye on a run for the White House, has flipped a $1.4 billion support for Diablo Canyon into a budget bill that must be passed by next Friday.
Well, you realize so, nuclear power is green power. That's why they're doing this, right? It's all about the green, right?
Oh, and please make everybody know that that's all in quotes. The only thing
I'm being sarcastic.
The dark.
Libby, well, you know, I'm being sarcastic. You know.
I know that you are, but I want people to understand that as well. That is a talking point that has been hammered into people's minds. Yeah. The nuclear industry has an unconscionable PR propaganda campaign, millions upon millions of dollars. And up against that is my little podcast, which isn't so little. It's heard in 124 countries. It's downloaded around the world every week. It has influenced the news cycle, and it is used as a source by mainstream reporters, and I am contacted by them for my information as well.
Well, and we've known each other for a long time, and I very much appreciate what you do, because I'll tell you, not very many people talk about this in most talk radio shows, because I don't know if they know how to handle it. I don't know if they know the approach, because again, there's a lot of variables here. There's a lot of things that people say. Well, no, I mean, we need. It used to be that, you know, that could be. We could put on the back burner the idea of a nuclear attack or a nuclear incident, but now it doesn't seem so far fetched to have one happen. We got a caller coming. We got Andrea in Florida. Hi, you're on with Libby Haleve. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Mr. Lewis. How are you?
Doing good.
Hey, listen, that your guest today has a wonderful podcast. Some of my friends that I've listened to, and this wasn't what I was calling about, but it just so happened you had this on tonight. Sometimes you have some programs that I really enjoy, and tonight's is great. She has a good podcast. I get a lot of information from her. But I called. What made me call you tonight was I heard you mention about your mom had died from cancer. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we knew that our family, of course, has a genetic disorder because of the, I mean, on my mother's side. I took up. I mean, my brother and sister took up my father's traits more so than I did. I took on my mother's traits. And my sister and my brother have not had cancer. My father didn't have cancer, but I have. I've had three bouts of kidney cancer and other health problems I've been dealing with, weight gain, weight loss. I mean, it's always an uphill battle for me, and it's because I have something called TSC. And TSC has shown up in a lot of downwinders. A lot of people have it and they don't even know it because they've been exposed to nuclear radiation. So, I have a very mild case of it. Most people, when they get it, they can have anything from really bad, debilitating handicaps to, you know, they can be in wheelchairs. They can be some can't talk, some can't move. It's really a scary thing to have because at any moment, you know, it could happen. I could be gone. I could be, you know, completely unable to take care of myself. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
I told you, the guy that answers the phone, that when I heard about your mother, I wanted to share this with you guys, that my brother was living in Norway with his wife, who's Norwegian, and they lived in Larvik. And when Chernobyl exploded, there was a downwind, and it blew over Norway and parts of Norway and in Larvik. It was heavy. They showed the map of where it went. And the same, Gorbachev's wife died of leukemia. My brother died of the same leukemia in 2001.
Yeah, I mean, when people say things like, I'm sure that Levy can concur, they'll say things like, well, you know, nothing really happens because people don't die immediately. They don't drop dead as soon as the plant goes down. But no, it's the leftovers. It's not only that, but it's the psychological thing. You have this psychological cloud in the back of your mind where you think, at any moment, I could get thyroid cancer, or I could get some other cancer. You talk about leukemia. Yeah, I mean, it's just something that, you know, I guess we have to live with it. They say, well, you know, this was all for national security, Clyde. You should be happy. Well, no, I'm not happy about that. I mean, go ahead, quickly.
It's sad because, you know, it only affects, like, my brother died, but then his wife, you know, she lost her husband early, and they had a wonderful life. Those are the sad things. But, you know, I read this book called A Song for Nagasaki, and it was about a radiologist, a doctor, who was studying and in the early years of this, and he wrote this beautiful book. I don't know if your listeners want to read it, and the program person is familiar with it.
Right.
It's a gorgeous book. And there was a movie called All That Remains that was made off of that.
Yeah, I'll have to look into it. I need to get back to my guest, but I appreciate you calling in. Levy, we're running out of time. So once again, tell us again about Nuclear Hot Seat. Tell us again about what's coming. And remember, we need to get people out to your site and get people out to your podcast.
Yes, and I welcome them to come and sign up. NuclearHotSeat.com. I have an archive of 575 episodes that you can peruse. Especially the ones since March have been heavily concentrated on Ukraine, so you can really pick up on the information there. And I have interviews planned for the next month, which include some of the resistors who went to prison for protesting at the down in Tennessee and elsewhere.
YK.
And I always appreciate the ability to come on your show, Clyde, because you do this at such a high prepared level.
Thank you. We may be in touch again. If this situation gets worse in UK in Ukraine, I'm sure we're going to be on the phone with you again. So be prepared if that does happen. Okay?
I welcome it.
All right. Thank you, Levy. We appreciate you being a part of this program. Yes. Again, Nuclear Hot Seat, Levy Halevy on Ground Zero. Yes, if this does happen, if this attack does happen on this nuclear power plant, you can bet that we will be on this. We'll get you more information about what is to come, what to prepare for, and whether or not there's any danger to us here in the United States. Probably not, but, I mean, the whole world is affected when things like this go down. Remember, keep your mind. They can't get at it. You keep it at Ground Zero. My gosh, it's the weekend. Go celebrate. Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you Monday.